You're like the airplane, you know, maybe a little bumpy, but you pretty much keep that thing steady no matter what's going on. Maybe a little turbulence, but you keep that thing steady because you've what? Possessed your soul. There are two things that we outlined yesterday. My time is gone. That we need to keep in the front of our minds to keep us preoccupied with things productive. Number one is you need to have a vision in front of you. And a vision is a mental picture of a preferred future. Thank you, Titanium Tiara. God bless you. It's a mental glimpse of a preferred future. It's where you have taken the time as an individual. I use that word a lot because it's so important. It's where you've taken the time as an individual to figure out, where is God bringing me? What is God's purpose for me? Why was I born? You know, rather than starting at who am I going to marry? There's a whole list of things that got to come before you get to that point. Why was I created? Where is God bringing me? You know, you got to have a vision for your life. Vision takes the conscious mind and transports it to a preferable future. Vision is an all-consuming proposition that fills every space of your consciousness with things positive and hopeful. This is why the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Thank you, Lori. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Most of you that are watching me right now, if you spend as much time, and this may sound harsh, and you know, one dear heart, she said, "Well, you know, when you talk like that, you make me feel bad." And I'm really not aiming to make you feel bad. It's just that I'm trying to drive certain points home, and I need you to really understand the importance of certain things that I'm saying to you, so that you don't sit here for 45 minutes and listen to this and revert right back to the same behavior. So sometimes I may talk to you like, you know, a father talking to his child. I don't mean to disrespect you at all, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I do aim to help you to understand what I'm saying to you. You got to have a vision. You got to have a glimpse of a preferred future. Most of you that are watching me right now, if you had as much focus on who you are as an individual, where God is bringing you, where God intends for you to go, what is going to be your deposit into the world in your lifetime. If you spend as much time focused on that as you do on relationships, when is he coming? When is she coming? When am I going to have a child? Thank you, Simone. Thank you. If you spend as much time focused on your vision . I guarantee you there would be a lot less of this in your life, and there would be much more of that, because people who have a vision in front of them, a glimpse of a preferred future, are stable. They have to be. You see? And then you got to have a mission. Vision, these are the things that should preoccupy your conscious mind. Your vision, your mission. Your vision is where you're going. Your mission is how you're going to get there. It's the step, it's the play-by-play, it's the step-by-step process that leads you to that place, that preferred future. Your mission, you know. Listen to this statement very carefully. Depression tends to settle upon people who are not preoccupied with a purposeful mission. In other words, You don't wake up every day saying, okay, this is what I got to do. That's why these people make day planners. This is what I got to do today. You just wake up and you just fall victim to random consciousness, you know, whatever. And then your subconscious mind bring you low and then keep you there for a little while. And something good happened and you get happy for a minute and then it brings you back down. But, you know, when you wake up and you say, I got to accomplish 5 things today, and you wake up with a purpose and you know this is my mission today, you ain't got time to be sitting around there with your mind, because your mind is already preoccupied the night before you went to sleep. You already had in your planner, this is what I'm going to accomplish. Your mission was already established. And because you know what your vision is and you know what your mission is for every day, it means that you live with purpose and intention. And the Bible says of Jesus in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because of the vision and the mission, he was able to endure the sufferings of the cross. So number one, we said you have to preoccupy the conscious mind. Hope you understand what I mean by that. Number two, you got to renovate the thought bank. Because all of us have a default thought system, and it's usually not a positive one. We all have a default thought system that is produced by the pain and the shame of life. And this default thought system is like a looping internal conversation that never stops. It continues in the background of our lives. And the intent of this conversation is to redefine us according to our limitations and our insecurities. Rather than being able to define yourself by God's greater plan for you and by the gifts and the abilities that God has given you, that you know, background conversation that's always reminding you of how you messed up. You know, society says you shouldn't do this. You can't be this because you're black, or you can't do this because you're white. And you know how they feel about Hispanics over here. So you can't do that because you're Hispanic, or you can't do this because you're not tall enough, or you can't do this because you're too tall. You know, you're too skinny, you're too fat. And it's just this conversation. And what has to happen is that if you're going to overcome depression, you have to intentionally renovate your thought bank. You have to go in and you have to search out the default, and you have to intentionally modify it to fit your preferred future. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of my favorite texts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that term renewing in the Greek literally translates as the renovation, which means what? We have to always think about what we're thinking about. When I have thoughts that don't serve me, my emotional health, I have to pull those thoughts down, the Apostle Paul said. I have to identify those thoughts, locate those thoughts, isolate those thoughts, and I have to dispose of those thoughts. And how do you dispose of them? Every time that thought comes up in your mind, you have to consciously reject that thought. That's not me. No, no, no. I rebuke that. You know, if you're saved like I am, you're a church boy like I am, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You know, there's no shame over here. That's how I talk to myself all day long. There's no shame over here. No fear over here. When those thoughts start coming up in my mind, I renovation is to do what? Pull out the old stuff that you don't want and replacing it with the new stuff that you do. Thank you, Nene. Now watch this. Here's a statement we made yesterday in church. Yeah, we teach like this in church on Sunday morning. Yeah. I know y'all thought everybody up there hollering and sweating and everything. No, 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 no. We teach just like this. The thought we made in church yesterday is this, which is powerful. Nobody is responsible or capable of managing your mind but you. Nobody is responsible for the management of your mind but you. Yes, this is going to be saved. Nobody is responsible for the management of your mind but you. You waiting on somebody to save you. You go to therapists and counselors and you want magic. You want the preacher to lay hands on you. You want magic. The reality is, if your mind is going to line up, you have to do the work. Okay, now watch this. Number three. You have to articulate your fears and your vulnerabilities. Number one, we said in the spiritual process, we said that you have to preoccupy the conscious mind. Number two, we said you have to renovate the thought bank. And then number three, we said you have to articulate your fears and vulnerabilities. Sometimes our depression, listen to this statement very carefully. Sometimes our depression is the real consequence of repression. Depression is many times the consequence of repression. It's the stuff that we repress, suppress, you know, whichever word. It's the stuff that we hold in and hold down and won't let up and out. That is the source many times of our depression. We hold things that must come out. When we give language to an emotion, especially a toxic emotion, we begin the process of defeating it. You know, and I just shared with the people yesterday my truth. You know, like I share pretty candidly with, you know, just about everywhere I go, I share my story. And I share it with no concern. You know, there are not a lot of people who get on social media and have as many people combing through and judging your stuff like I do, that would be comfortable just sharing that because, you know, everybody wants to be liked. Well, I discovered that it's not healthy to be a person that just needs to be liked. I'd like to be liked, but I don't need to be liked. And one thing I've come to the conclusion of, and that is, if my truth, thank you, Buck, thank you. If my truth is not something you can process or deal with, you are not designed to go into my future. And so if you can't handle my truth, you can't handle my journey. And see, there are a lot of you, let me just go here while I'm here. There are a lot of you who are trying to make lifelong relationships out of some stuff that's flimsy. You with people that can't really handle your truth. You just kind of share a little bit of who you really are and what you're really dealing with, and they can't handle it. And you're trying to make a lifelong situation out of this with somebody that can't handle your whole truth and nothing but the truth? Because for my own emotional health and well-being, my soul has to disclose. I got to have a safe place. I got to have a loyal spot where I can share every and anything. Come on now. Because my fears and my vulnerabilities have to be articulated. You keep that stuff in, it becomes poisonous to your system. You know, I think that's probably one of the number one things a woman should look for in a man and a woman, actually. But definitely a woman should look for in a man. And that is a man that can handle your truth, that, you know, understands that how the world functions and that everybody has a past. And if he can't wholeheartedly handle your past and all of it, he ain't designed to be your husband. He can't cover you. If he can't handle your history, he certainly can't be a part of your destiny. You need a man that you can tell him everything, and he still honors you. He still loves you. He looks at you no differently. He puts all of that to bed, and he helps you to heal, and he empowers you to move forward. And a man needs the same thing. A man needs a woman that's not going to judge him based on who he was and where he come from. Because he got to be able to what? You got to articulate your fears and your vulnerabilities. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And as I share with the people in church, when you start looking at that ye may be healed, a lot of times we just conclude that's talking about physical healing. No, that's in reference to emotional healing, spiritual healing, psychological healing. He says, but it happens when we confess it, when we get it out, then the healing starts. Then the healing starts. I'm on here too long tonight. Now, number four, and then I'm done. You have to learn. This is the spirit. This is a practical spiritual process to beating depression. A practical spiritual process. Now, this process sometimes will have to work alongside a clinical process. Sometimes it'll have to work alongside a medicinal process. But this is a spiritual process that will help everybody and anybody to some degree. For some of you, this may be all you need. But number four, you got to take charge. You have to take charge. You have to take personal charge of the spiritual environment surrounding your life. Because sometimes the engine of your condition is spiritual. Sometimes it's absolutely spiritual oppression, you know, and it's not chemical necessarily. It's not circumstantial or social. It's spiritual oppression. You know, it's demonic forces that are working against your emotional well-being. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I know some don't believe in that, but I do. I've had these kinds of wrestling matches. I do, you know. But there's a text found in 1 Samuel 16 relative to taking charge of the spiritual environment of your life. In 1 Samuel 16, 21 through 23, it says here, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, David's father, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God, watch this, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. And just for clarity, when we read this, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, it's not as though God has a host of evil spirits that he releases. What it really, how it really translates is the spirit that God permitted to touch Saul's life because Saul had fallen out of favor with God and God pulled back the veil. And so when it says the evil spirit from God, it means that God simply permitted this to happen. When the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And when you read it, you discover that David had to continuously do this because Saul's what? Spiritual environment was being impacted negatively by something demonic. And the only thing that would give him relief was David's worship. Thank you, Kimberly. God bless you. The only thing that would give him relief was David's worship. David's worship was the only thing that would give Saul relief. But another thing that I saw in this that I brought out yesterday, watch this, is that a major part of taking charge of the spiritual environment in your life is monitoring the energy of the people around you. Saul brought David into his circle because David brought liberty and freedom to his soul. Sometimes the reason you can't seem to break this heaviness is because you have not taken the time to pay attention enough to notice that you're surrounded by people who feed the heaviness. They generate it and they regenerate it. And you don't have enough people in your life that, what, inspire and lift you. You need somebody like David that when he comes into your environment or she comes into your environment, it stirs you spiritually and you get inspired. And then finally, and I'm done, in Isaiah 61:3, it says, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He says, I'll give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes, and I'm done, you have to find, you may not be a heavily or deeply religious person. You may not be a person that's in church all the time, but there are days in your life that you need to find the one, two, or three things that you're blessed in. Rather than this random consciousness and focusing on all of this negativity that's always going to be coming and will never cease, take and focus on those three things that you have to be thankful for. And begin to tell God, thank you. He says he'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you'll be amazed at how impactful thankfulness will be upon your soul. When you become thankful, it's like the Spirit of God rushes into your life and he arrests everything that did not come from him and what you could not do in your own power. The Holy Spirit will fall into your room, into your space, and bring a deliverance that you will have to conclude only God could do. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here now. I'm not just teaching this. There's a liberty. You don't even realize it, but I just brought you to church. There's a liberty that is setting up in that space where you are, wherever you're watching this. There's a liberty of listening to this. There's a liberty that only comes from God. And when you become thankful and you begin to give God praise for the two or three things that you have at the front of your mind and you forget about all of the rest, it's amazing how thankfulness gets God involved in all of the other stuff that you can't handle on your own. Hey, my. Boy, I feel God here. Jesus, I feel God here. I feel God. Now, there's a prayer that we prayed in the church on yesterday, and the people kind of recited after me, and you can do the same wherever you are. But I call it a prayer for overcoming depression. And it reads like this: Heavenly Father, I come to you. There's no other help I know. I repent for all of my sins. I admit all of my failures, and I acknowledge all of my insecurities. I need your power to wash over my soul and to bring the healing that only you can provide. I need rest for my mind and freedom in my spirit. I repent for relying on my own power and being too prideful to ask for help. Help me, God. Allow me to feel the joy of your deliverance. I release every fear, false identity, or prideful way. I cancel every generational curse and social conditioning that opens my heart to heaviness. I declare with my own mouth, I am free. I denounce shame, guilt, and unworthiness. I am free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Demetrius. I've enjoyed this time with you tonight. I really have. I've enjoyed this time with you tonight. And my prayer for you is that you've gotten something out of this that will lighten your burden and give you hope, because truly the Spirit of God is doing a new thing in your life. I've been on here almost an hour. I didn't plan on doing that, but the Spirit of God is doing something fresh here in your life. Now, if this is your first time here, we'd love to have you as a part of the family. Just hit that button and subscribe and like and make your comments and what have you. Don't forget to stop by my website, rcblakes.com. Those of you that want to take the cruise with Lisa and I next year in 2020, in July of 2020, we're cruising seven nights. We're cruising the Western Caribbean. It's Queenology meets Kingology. I'll be releasing the book Kingology for men. And hopefully we'll have enough men that we can have sessions for the women and sessions for the brothers. And of course, a cruise is something that you can bring the whole family on, but it's not necessarily a husband-wife thing. But we'd love to have you. If you go to rcblakes.com and you hit the icon under live events, signifying the cruise, it'll lead you to the email, to leave an email. And all you have to do is just, you know, who you are, where you're at, and they'll hit you back and get you situated. All right, I love you. I thank God for you. Thank you so much, all of you that blessed me tonight. I just, you know, I'm always blown away at that. I thank God for you. I really appreciate you. I love you with all of my heart. Don't forget to stop by. Look at there, Michelle, thank you. Don't forget to stop by Amazon. And don't forget to stop by Amazon. Is it, what is that, Timberly? Timberly, God bless you. That's a beautiful name. And pick up my books. Lisa was telling me today that we had such a massive order of books from Amazon that we're just about out. So we have to reprint for God knows what, how many times it's been. That's because of you. Thank you so much. All right. I love you. God bless you. I want you to have a great night. Know that you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you. So guess what? Truth as I go. God bless you. Guess what? I'll see you at the top. God bless you. Until next time, have a great night.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.